Greetings, greetings, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. Today's recording date is Sunday, October the 9th, 2011, and we're dealing with Balaam, Balak, the Moabites, the children of Israel. We're dealing with the church at Pergamos. Now Jesus is giving counsel and instruction on how to manifest and identify defects that we may get rid of those defects. He talked about how good Pergamos did. Talked about how good Antipas did, being a martyr. We don't desire to be a martyr, but we desire to stand up for the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. We desire to uphold Christ, which is to deliver the oppressed from the oppressor. We desire to stand up and be rid of this synagogue of Satan, no good rotten system, and bring in the kingdom of God in heaven right here, right now, on this earth. That's what we want to do. And so Antipas did that. Antipas manifested that. The kingdom of God in heaven is within. So Antipas looked within and manifested the kingdom of God in heaven there against Caesar, against Rome, and he was martyred. So Jesus gave them accolades, but now he has to give them criticism. And among Pergamos, there was a group called the Nicolaitans who took on the philosophy of Balaam. And Balaam in the Old Testament cast stumbling blocks before the children of Israel and taught Balak how to cast stumbling blocks before the children of Israel, because the children of Israel represent revolution. The children of Israel represent deliverance of the oppressed from the oppressor, no matter the tribe, ethnicity, religion, so on and so forth. The children of Israel, the African Hebrew Israelite nation, offered all sisters and brothers, the oppressed, membership, citizenship into the nation of Israel if those joining on would fight the oppressor, fight the oppressor, fight the oppressor. So Balak, who represents the oppressor, the wicked ruling class and families, became afraid. And he solicited Balaam to curse Israel, but God wouldn't let Balaam curse Israel. Balaam instead blessed Israel, but after that drama, apparently behind the scenes, Balaam taught Balak how to use the women of Moab to solicit the men of the children of Israel into sexual sins and idolatry. And those sexual, let's look at this allegorically now, because it was Rome and Caesar then. Way back is Balak and the Moabites, the representing the Balak representing the oppressor. During the time of Pergamos, it's Caesar and Rome who are the oppressor. Today, it's the house of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers and their wicked demonic imps in control of governments and organizations and whatnot, Wall Street and the corporate elites. These are the wicked ruling class and ruling families today. And so, idolatry is only covetousness, which is the system of empire that kills and destroys and thieves the land, the wealth, the resources, and then offers to us the opportunity to be consumers and purchase consumer items that are made up of those minerals and resources that were stolen from our sisters and brothers overseas and at home. And so the system is offered to us in as an enticement to that we may participate in this idolatrous system. The telephones and the cell phones and the diamonds and the gold and the necklaces, they look so nice and wonderful. Just like those women of Moab look so beautiful, so gorgeous. So some would even say sexy. And so these consumer items are sexy to us. They're nice. They're beautiful. They're enticements to entice us to participate in a wicked, nasty, rotten system that thrives on warfare, bloodshed, death, and hell. And many of us have been taken and do not care that those items that we buy come to us from death and warfare and bloodshed. And the 911 situation. You see, many of us wouldn't go after participating in such a wicked, nasty system. And many of us rose up and said, no, we want to stand and fight against this wicked system. We don't want to commit idolatry and covetousness and help to thieve the land, the wealth, the resources. Many of us said we want to fight against the system, fight against slavery, fight against exploitation. Many of us looked at George Bush and said, no, we know this man is rotten. We know, we believe what he says when he tells us that his constituency is the wealthy. We know that this man, George Bush, is working for the CIA. He's a CIA agent. His daddy's a CIA agent. His grandfather, Prescott Bush, worked with Hitler. We know where they're coming from. And so the wicked powers, they wanted to cause the wrath of God to come down upon us. The wicked powers, the house of Rothschilds, wanted us to be cursed. And they wanted the black man and woman. And they wanted the poor white man and woman and poor brown, red, yellow man and woman not to be revolutionaries. They said, we want to make sure that they have to choose between the revolution and standing with us. This is the house of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers talking. So what did they do? What did they do that would cast a stone of stumbling, a stumbling block in front of us to cause us to maybe go after this thing, may cause us maybe to go after participating in killing and bloodshed and warfare and exploitation? They constructed something. They constructed 911. These wicked demons, devils, satans in human flesh constructed 911 and used 911 to give us a fictitious narrative. All of it is fictitious. They want us to participate in the killing of our sisters and brothers in Afghanistan, in Iraq. Oh, let me try to remember this factoid. I believe I have it in some of my notes here. Ramsey Clark, I believe his name is, was talking to Amy Goodman, Democracy Now! And he was saying that right after 911 occurred, there appeared a war memo. And this war memo named seven nations that George Bush, following the dictates of the House of Rothschilds, George Bush wanted to go after seven nations. I hope I remember them, because I have them written in my, let me call up my notes. I believe I have it in my notes. Let me see. Let me take my time and go after this thing. Yes, Wesley Clark. There we go. Not Ramsey Clark. Ramsey Clark is a good man. Ramsey Clark is touring with Cynthia McKinney, revealing the wickedness of this government in Libya. So not Ramsey Clark, but General Wesley Clark. He was talking to Amy Goodman in March 2007. At that time, he was a possible candidate for the presidency of the United States of North America. And so he talked about this war memo that he saw. That the Bush administration planned to take out seven countries in 5 years. What were those seven countries in 5 years? Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, Iran. Between 2007 and 2012, the Bush administration wanted these seven nations to be overthrown, destroyed, so that the land, the wealth, the resources could be turned over to the House of Rothschilds, etc. Now, what was used? What was used was this stumbling block of 9-1-1, which is nothing but fiction, a fictitious narrative, false flag operation. Go to Webster Tarpley, his website, tarpley.net, and you can see all manner of details as to 9-1-1 being fiction. Go to Ralph Schoeman and Maya Schoen. Let me write this down. I'm going to have to put it in my notes. Ralph Schoenman and Maya Schoen at www.takingaimradio.com, and go to the time period of September 11th, 2001. And you can see all manner of programs in which Maya Schoen and Ralph Schoen, Ralph Schoeman and Maya Schoen exposed this whole 9-1-1 as fiction. And so look at this now. Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, Iran, between 2007 and 2012. Now we are in 2011. We have the Obama administration now. President Barack Obama. Barack Obama is the president of the United States. And when you look at this, these seven nations, you can see that Barack Obama is now carrying out the Bush plan, but it is not the plan of Obama nor Bush. This is the plan of the House of Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, the wicked 1%, 2%, those that the protesters are protesting, the 1%, Wall Street, the bankers, the wicked corporate elites, and so on. And so Iraq. America is yet in Iraq, haven't left Iraq. Syria. Clandestine forces are in Syria arming the opposition to oppose Assad, I believe his name is. Assad. I'm going to get his name right. Assad, to oppose the head of state of Syria, to draw the head of state of Syria into a clandestine type war that will overflow into an overt war, so that the United States of North America can accuse Assad of Syria of being wicked, so that the United States of North America, the CIA, on behalf of the House of Rothschilds, can overthrow that government. Do I say that Assad is righteous? Totally no. But I say that we must understand that America can create a revolution. The CIA can create a revolution. The CIA can infiltrate your revolution and spin the revolution and destroy you. And so we see that clandestine forces are in Syria arming people, arming rebels to raise them up to oppose the government, to cause a war that Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Israel, and others can say, oh, he needs to be removed. This is the Bush plan, but it's not the Bush plan, it's the House of Rothschilds plan, the Oppenheimer plan. Syria, Lebanon. Remember, I believe It was around 2007, around that time, that Israel invaded Lebanon. We see that was the Bush plan. They wanted to overthrow Lebanon, deal with, what group was that? I can't remember the name of that group that they hate that is in Lebanon. Hamas, I believe. They, Israel went into Lebanon to go after Hamas and kill and destroy, bomb houses and homes and businesses and whatnot. That's the Bush plan. Libya. Obama is in Libya now, carrying out the Bush plan, but it's not the Bush plan, it's the Rothschilds plan. Raising up Al-Qaeda, raising up rebels, financing and arming rebels, telling lies on Muammar Gaddafi, saying that these black people in Libya, who are in reality black citizens of Libya, Africans in Libya who are black, 58% of Libyans are black people, calling these black people mercenaries, calling migrant workers who are also African and black migrant workers to justify the lynching and destruction of these sisters and brothers. This Al-Qaeda that is armed and financed by the Obama administration is lynching and killing black people, saying that they're not citizens of Libya, raping black women, cutting off the breast of black women. If you go to Your World News, you get information on that. If you go to Western Tarpley, you get information on that. Walter Fauntleroy just returned from Libya and testified to the reality that NATO is killing people, NATO is destroying people, and saying the rebels did it. This is all the Bush plan, but it's not the Bush plan. It's the Rothschilds plan. First thing that was done to set up when they overthrew, to the extent that they have, the fight is not over. Gaddafi may win in the end. The sisters and brothers with Gaddafi may win in the end, but the media is spinning it as if it's over. But they have control. Obama administration has control over Benghazi. So in Benghazi, the first thing that was done was to set up a central bank in Benghazi that is connected with the House of Rothschilds and the International Monetary Fund. Bush doctrine, Bush plan, but it's not Bush's plan, it's not Obama's plan, it's the Rothschilds' plan. Somalia, in Somalia right now, the Obama administration is creating a ring of drone military bases to have drones. And this is so filthy and nasty and disgusting. People in Colorado in the military flying drone planes, killing people, killing men, women, and children. And after they kill, they go home and make love to their wives or their husbands and play with their children and have a good time eating and sleeping and watching TV and being pillars in their community. While just that day, they killed innocent people. Sudan, we see that right now. From the Bush administration to the Obama administration, the work of the CIA has been successful in splitting Sudan. So now you have, I believe it's the Republic of Southern Sudan. But Israel is there. Mossad is there. CIA, America is there. MI5-6, Britain is there. The clandestine wicked forces that we talk about all the time are there in the southern Sudan to take that land, wealth, and resources and foment more warfare, bloodshed, killing. This is the Bush plan, but it's not. This is the Obama plan, but it's not. It's the House of Rothschilds plan. Iran, you know they hate Iran. They hate Ahmadinejad for standing up at the United Nations and telling nothing but the truth. Just like we preach every week, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad took the rostrum at the United Nations and told the truth on this wicked demon, this wicked devil, the synagogue of Satan. And so we see that 911 is used to try to get us to go after this wicked idolatrous system. As a woman is used, as sex and enticements are used, consumer items are used to entice us to make intercourse into this wicked, nasty system, and don't care that millions die. So now, the success of Obama, because many of us still wouldn't go for it, because it was Bush talking, but now it's Obama talking. Obama is saying the same exact things that Bush was saying. Obama is now used to entice us to go after this nasty system. Obama is talking about 9-1-1. Obama is talking about how he doesn't like Iran and Ahmadinejad. He is talking, Obama is talking, about how we got to go after terrorists, all fictitious, to entice us. Just like Balaam told Balak how to use the women to entice the children of Israel to go after idolatry and sexual sins. Those are only symbolic of participating, having intercourse with colonialism, slavery, exploitation. We're going to take our next break, and I'll see you on the other side of the break. Greetings again, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. Today's recording date is Sunday, October the 9th, 2011. And I am just so thankful unto the Most High for giving me the opportunity to talk to you, my sisters and brothers. I heard from my producer, helper, engineer, facilitator that at least 600 hits I have had on my website. And I am thankful unto the Most High for getting that encouragement to know that sisters and brothers like yourself are interested in this information. So now, Obama is used to cause us to stumble, to cause us to go after this system, have wicked, nasty intercourse with this system of colonialism, slavery, exploitation, warfare, bloodshed. So now God is angry with us for doing so. Now we are coming under a curse. Many churches out there are talking about cursings, but they don't want to talk about being cursed for not being a revolutionary. They don't want to talk about being cursed for not standing up for the oppressed and not fighting the oppressor. Maybe you're cursed, church, because you won't use your tithe for the oppressed. You won't use the monies that you collect to fight the oppressor. Maybe you're under a curse because you won't preach on behalf of the oppressed and fight and deliver the oppressed from the oppressor using the word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword. So many of us who were revolutionaries began to say, well, man, Obama is saying it. It got to be true. Many young bloods, male and female, they said, well, we didn't trust Bush, but we trust Obama. If he say go into the military and fight and kill and shed blood, I'll go. It was like being enticed by a fine woman. It was like being enticed with sexual sins. So look, sisters and brothers, let's come to ourselves. Let's get back in our minds again. Like Parliament Funkadelic said back in the day. Ooh, this is so interesting. Oh, the Most High Mother Holy Spirit brings stuff to your mind and you didn't see it coming. There's a song, I think it's called Back in Our Minds Again, or Back in Our Minds, but some of the lyrics go, we are back in our minds again. We don't fight no more. I can't remember all the rest of it, but we don't fight no more. We don't tear each other down anymore. We don't do that type of activity. We are back in our minds again. So let's get back in our minds again. George Clinton and Parliament Funkadelic made some good lyrics. So we're going to have to get back in our minds again. We're going to have to come back to ourselves and what? Reject the Obama administration, reject the Democratic Party, reject the Republican Party, reject 9-1-1, reject this fictitious narrative, reject warfare, bloodshed, hold fast to the name of Jesus, hold fast to Yahshua, like Antipas did, like those wonderful sisters and brothers at Pergamos who were elevated, and we are elevated in this time, like they were elevated to fight Rome and Caesar. Fight colonialism, slavery, exploitation. Like the children of Israel of old were elevated after having been delivered from the Hyksos slave master in Egypt. They went down into that region called Arabia, just south of Mesopotamia, Israel, Palestine. And they were elevated, the African Hebrew Israelite nation, were elevated to fight the oppressor. We today are elevated to fight the oppressor. Jesus means justice. Jesus means deliver, liberty, prosperity, health and wealth, land, wealth and resources, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, all of these things that we the people need. Jesus means to give it back to the oppressed, to take it from the oppressor and to bring it back to the oppressed and do away with oppression, do away with the synagogue of Satan. Christ means to deliver the oppressed. Now, it's something interesting. See, now in Revelation, Jesus says that Balaam taught Balak how to make the children of Israel stumble. But in the Old Testament, when you try to run that down, you can't find it. You only see Balaam blessing Israel. You don't see that drama that took place after that drama. It's a hidden drama, apparently, that took place in which Balaam taught Balak how to use the women of Moab to entice the soldiers, the men of Israel. That is not recorded in the Old Testament, but in Revelation, Jesus mentions it because he knew about it. So this dynamic, I kept going over in my head. I tried to run it down, say, well, I don't see it in the Old Testament, but I see that at a certain point, Joshua, the children of Israel under Joshua, then find Balaam and those wicked ones that solicited the children of Israel into colonialism, slavery, exploitation, and they're killed. They're destroyed. Now, symbolically, this is talking about killing the mind of the oppressor, killing the mind of the wicked ruling class and ruling families within your consciousness. Not talking about going out and shedding blood. You see, the sword is only symbolic of the word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword. So all of this drama is symbolism and allegory. But I couldn't find where Balaam actually taught Balak these things. And so my brain was looking at Barack Obama. And my brain began to recall, sisters and brothers, that when Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton were on the campaign trail for the nomination of the Democratic Party in the election that was held in 2009, I recall that they were hot on the trail. Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton were making promises to Native American people, saying, we're going to do right by you. Vote for me, Hillary, or vote for me, Barack. They were making promises to poor white people and middle class and working people. Vote for me, Hillary,
or Barack, and I'll do you right. They talk to black people. They talk to brown and red and yellow. They talk to the working class and the middle class and the poor people and whatnot, and made all of these promises. But then, at a certain point on the campaign trail, right in the middle, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton disappeared. You see, they were talking all manner of blessings, just like Balaam was talking to the children of Israel. But we know that Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton were only working for the Rothschilds and Oppenheimers, but they couldn't tell you that they were going to stand, that after they won office, Barack wins the presidency, Hillary Clinton the Secretary of State, that now they're going to try to solicit you to kill and destroy and be enticed to warfare and bloodshed. But they couldn't say that, but they had to say blessings to us to try to get us to vote for them. And so in the middle of the campaign trail, they disappeared. Guess where they went? They went to the Bilderberg group somewhere in Europe. They went to the Bilderberg Society. They went and talked to the Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers and the Bilderbergs and whatnot. Do research on the Bilderbergs. Do research on the Bilderberg Society. Do research on these Illuminati Masonic groups, Bilderberg Society, Council on Foreign Relations, and other societies connected with the Bilderbergs. These are functionalities, these are wings or arms or departments or compartments or groups that are used by the House of Rothschilds to get over their wicked plan of death, hell, and destruction. So in these hidden meetings that Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama had with the House of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers and the Bilderberg groups, they were given the blueprint, given the plan. Maybe they told Hillary, look, you're not going to win the presidency. We want Barack Obama to win, because Barack Obama's the right man for the job to solicit and entice the people into going after 9/11 and this fictitious narrative, to going after warfare, bloodshed, to maneuver the people into thinking that it is to their benefit to kill and destroy people all over the earth, thinking you're going to make yourself safe when your very enemy is not the sister and brother overseas that you're sent to kill, but your very enemy are those who are the heads of your state, heads of your government, heads of your institutions, and so on. So these hidden meetings look like to me that which Balaam did with Balak, hidden behind the scenes. This is so interesting how the scriptures can cause you. Look, the scriptures written by our African ancestors can give us a prophetic picture as to what is going on right in front of our eyes. Let me go quickly to Proverbs. We had a Sunday school lesson teaching values. We had this Sunday school lesson September 18, 2001, and we know that the values that we are teaching are the values of freedom, justice, equality, the kingdom of God in heaven, right here, right now, on this earth. Proverbs chapter 15, starting at verse 21. This is written by King Solomon, and it goes right in with what we're doing and saying, because all of this is revelation, revelatory, relevant, gives us a picture as to what's going on. King Solomon, an African Hebrew Israelite king, pledged to defend and deliver the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. He's giving advice to his son. His son represents the children, represents the people, represents the believers, represents the church, the mosque, the synagogue, whatever you frequent, represents the revolutionary, represents those who are supposed to stand up for freedom, justice, and equality. Advising his son on how to conduct himself as a righteous man, as a man who will grow up to be a revolutionary. And so he says in verse 21, chapter 15, folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom. And we see that the heads of state, they want folly. They don't want wisdom. They want to be tutored onto how to gain power, fame, and fortune, and position, and maneuver us into warfare, bloodshed, and destruction of our sisters and brothers. But a man of understanding walketh uprightly. We are trying to be people that have the understanding that we may walk upright in a righteous manner, in a manner befitting of believers in the Most High, in a manner befitting of revolutionaries, in a manner befitting of a Christian, a Buddhist, a Hindu, a Krishna, a Hebrew, a Jew, a communist, a socialist. We are the people of Christ, and we are to walk upright and stand for righteousness, stand for revolution, stand for freedom, justice, and equality. That word upright, to go straight, to be pleasing and agreeable, straightforward, to make right, to make smooth, is yashar in the African Hebrew language, 3474 on the Hebrew side of the Strong's Hebrew Greek Dictionary. And so we are they who are walking upright. We are they who are standing up with force and with power. And these sisters and brothers, I'm moving to the some current affairs for the next couple of minutes. With that in the backdrop, we are people of understanding. We want to walk upright and stand up and do the bidding of the Most High. Let me hit this word understanding, 8394 on the Hebrew side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek Dictionary. Tavum, 8394, means to understand, to have intelligence, to act, the act of understanding, skill, the faculty of understanding, the object of knowledge, teacher, personification. So we personify a teacher that now has understanding. And these protesters have understanding. They know that in San Francisco, protesters, in Washington, D.C., protesters, in Albuquerque, New Mexico, protesters, in Chicago, protesters, in Los Angeles, protesters, in Seattle, Washington, protesters, in Syracuse, New York, New York City, Wall Street, protesters, sisters and brothers in Greece on a general strike, protesting, the sisters and brothers that are with Muammar Gaddafi in Libya, standing up against the United States and NATO, are protesting. All of these sisters and brothers are in Spain, in Britain. All of these sisters and brothers collectively are saying, we do not like you, House of Rothschilds. We do not like you, Oppenheimers. We do not like you, Wall Street. We do not like you, bankers. We do not like you, 1%, 2% ruling class and families. We do not like warfare and bloodshed. We do not like the austerity programs. We do not like how you steal our land, our wealth, our resources. We do not like how you are destroying Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, education, programs for the people. We are coming together. We have the mind of Christ. We are walking upright. We have understanding. And we are thankful for this day and time of resurrection and revolution. Let's come together, and let's come together more and more and more, and cultivate the mind of God, the mind of Christ. Jah love, Jah bless. This is the Exodus, the movement of Jah people.